As you said, I'm Kathy Jacobs. I am new to your group, but I'm not new to the world of speaking or the world of computers or the world of user groups. I used to be president of APCUG, and I've done computer user group stuff for longer than I want to admit, even to you guys. And I'm here tonight to talk about how to beta test like a pro. Anybody in the room know what a beta test is? Somebody tell me, you in the back, what's a beta test? Yeah. Okay. Go for it. Yeah. Go ahead. Yep. Put those three pieces together and you've got exactly what I was going to say and what I'm going to talk about for the next 45 minutes. I, by the way, am one of those speakers who expects you all to stay awake. I will call on the audience members. I will expect participation. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I am sorry. I've been asked to speak more slowly. Well, I'll try on that one. I can't guarantee that. There are three things you need to know about beta testing. It is the last set of testing most pieces of software get before they get released. It is done for quality assurance, and it is done, for the most part, by real users. That means, for you, as a user, it's free software. What do you think of that idea? Anybody here want to pay for all their software? I didn't think so. So, it may be beta software, but it is free software. Beta is, alpha, beta, gamma. Everybody knows that? I started out with a picture of the fish, the beta fish on there, and Bruce said it didn't make sense, so we switched to here. You're not going to pay any money to be involved in a beta test. In fact, if someone asks you if you want to pay for a beta product, run away as fast as you can. And even I will try to run away from that, and I don't run very far. But it's free as in lunch, not free as in everything. Anybody who you're beta testing for is going to expect something in return. What do you suppose they want in return? You find bugs, you comment, you tell them what you like, you tell them what you don't like. I don't know. Do that naturally. Okay, I'll do that for your software. So let's talk about what is beta testing. Because it's really nice to say generally it's user testing. But that's a little broad, isn't it? Because I've had it since March. The question was, what's the good of beta testing Windows 10 when they're giving it away for free? Difference is, I've had it since March, and that is number one. We'll talk later about what the benefits to you are. Early access is one of the biggest things that you're going to get by doing beta software. Yeah. There are some bugs we found that if they were still in Windows 10, you all would never go to that operating system. However, in the time since we've been beta testing it and since we know other people have been beta testing it, it's gotten pretty stable. I'm not going to talk a lot about about Windows 10. I kind of don't want to tromp on too much of this presentation. Bruce and I am a professional tester. You notice the shirt. I am on a perpetual bug hunt. If you were to go out and look at the cars parked along the curb here, you could tell ours. Because the license plate says I Heart Tests. I break things as if I were drinking a glass of water. True story, I had an MRI yesterday morning. You've all had an MRI, right? Okay, of those of you who have an MRI, how many of you have ever had the machine shut down while you were getting your MRI? The power went out in the corner of the building. Took my MRI down. They were able to reboot it 10 minutes later. Took another one down, and as of when we left an hour later, they still didn't have that one back up yet. That's why I like beta testing. If it's going to break, it's going to break on me. My goal in life is to find other people like me who will break it, and as a good friend of mine says, break it early, break it often, break it so I don't have to. If I break it, I'll report every bug I find. I annoy developers. In my previous job, even before I was officially a tester, nothing went out the door without Kathy touching it, because Kathy would break it. I have beta tested software for Microsoft, for TechSmith. Anybody heard of Snagit, Camtasia? Okay. A company called Codename, who makes a bunch of games. A whole bunch of PowerPoint add-ons, and a lot more of other people. What I do is install people's software or apps and run it and notice what goes wrong. But why do I do it? Why do companies do it? Why do you think a company would have users test their software? Bingo! Number one with a bullet is to avoid embarrassment. But did you know it also saves time and money? Ooh, that looks ugly up there, Bruce. When software is developed, there's basically kind of three stages to it. As you go through those three stages, the later you find a problem, the more it costs. Find a problem after it gets out to the real world, and you lose not just money, but reputation. Have a small group of people beta test it, and you find it before that 10x jump. You find it before everybody else is using it, and you only have to fix it and replace it to those people. You've got time to get it out to everybody else. Make sense? So, what's the payoff? We've said the first one. Saves the company time. Saves them money. It also saves them effort, because instead of having a huge user base at the company that they're paying a regular salary to do testing, they can shuffle it off on all of you. You got it. Spread it out to everybody else. Oh, slow down. I'm sorry. I will promise to get better at that. I'm out of practice at this. It saves them having to have full-time employers or contractors, employees or contractors do the testing. But it also gives them real customer feedback. Do I have any software engineers or app developers in the audience? Anybody worked in the computer industry? Come on, I know there's a few of you. Do you test your own code? Or do you test what you know it's supposed to do? Do you test it before you send it to a tester? I don't ever test my own code. When you write code, you know what you wrote it to do. So, of course, it does that. Of course, you wrote it to take a return key as an end of line in your editor, and the people using it expect the return key to be the end of the paragraph. Doing exactly what you coded it to do and exactly what the customer doesn't. Is that a bug? Is the developer ever going to find that bug? Is the person testing to the requirements ever going to find that bug? No, because they're going to look at what it says it's going to do, and they're going to break it. Or they're not going to break it. There's a series of new places in the world which are professional testers who just do break-it testing. They're really professional beta testers. They're in big companies, and the idea is they sit there with the usability people and figure out what the actual customer is going to do. This is also called your support team. The third payoff for the company is really hidden, but really awesome. Any company that does a real beta test, or any developer that does a real beta test, is going to end up with a committed fan base. People who know their product, understand it, and love it. Or hate it. But the developers still want to know if you hate it, because they want to know how to make you love it. And that community is an awesome thing. I mean, think about it. If you have a community of people that are so excited about your product that they want to test it before anybody else gets it, what can you do with those people? Use them as resources when people want to know if your product works. Get reviews from them. Have them test things earlier even. Have them talk about your software. Have them train people about their software. All without you paying a penny most of the time. Okay, but why do you want to do it? Number one for you is probably the free stuff. If you can get in a beta program, you will get the software early. But if you can get in a beta program and you participate with the whole of your heart, most reasonable companies will give you a copy of the software for free afterwards. True story. I'm going to point at him over here. Mr. Bruce, how long have we been beta testing Windows? Since 2000 at XP, okay. How many times have we gotten a free copy of it for beta testing? Would you say we've gotten at least two copies of every system, of every operating system? Two free copies of Windows for every operating system, for every release they've done. Free copies. Oh, yeah, free copies of Office, because we've been testing Office as long also. We also, as I said, beta test at times for TechSmith. If you can get on beta testing for a company like TechSmith, oh, that's cool. They send T-shirts, and they send nice swag. They sent us a pair of lamps made out of circuit boards one year. Made out of circuit boards. The four sides were circuit boards, and there was a light bulb up the middle, and they were the coolest things. Unfortunately, they didn't like the Arizona heat. The lack of humidity, yeah. So you get free stuff. You're going to get early access. This is good if you play games. If you play Facebook games and you can get on as a beta tester, you will get a bump when the game goes live. One of the companies I test for is called Codename. They are a game development company in Canada. They make Facebook games and games on a site called Kongregate, and we'll talk about Kongregate later. I have tested all of their games that they have out except for the first one that I joined. Their payoff to anybody who does a beta test for their game, they tell you first, when the beta's over, your character or your game's going to get reset. But second, we'll give you the equivalent of $20 or $30 worth of free stuff in the game that anybody else is going to have to pay for, and two or three things in the game that nobody else can ever get. That's not bad for a few hours of sitting and playing a new game. I'm testing one of their games right now. I've already broken it four times. The person who's their community person says, if Kathy doesn't sign up for a beta within 2 days of it went out, we need to double check and make sure the announcement really went out. Because they know I will not only sign up, I will break it. Anybody here care about learning new things? Great way to keep your brain going, right? Part of the reason I beta test Office is so I can keep up to date on what's coming next. And once in a blue moon, you'll always get brownie points. Everybody knows what brownie points are? Brownie points, stars on your head, forehead, whatever you want to call them. I was talking to a group one day where I used to work, and none of them had ever heard the term brownie points. It was one of the old at that company. Every once in a while, you will also find a developer who will pay you small amounts of money, $5, $10, something like that. And in fact, I'm going to show you a site in a few minutes where you can sign up for those kind of betas. What are the risks? It's free software. There are going to be risks. Three big ones. The software is going to crash on you. You may lose data. You lose time. What you have to decide is if what you're going to lose is worth what you're going to gain. The first sentence up there is a do as Kathy says, not as Kathy does. Because you see this machine here? It's been running off of 2016's beta since May? Since something like May. And it's been running Windows 10 since April. And it's my primary machine. But I know that's what's on this machine. If I lose it, I lose it, and it's not a problem. You have an IT department built in. My resident geek will take care of it. But in general, every single product that you beta test will ask you, will tell you, don't do this on a machine that you're using regular. Actually, no, I don't do image backups. I cheat. I store very little on the machine. Two-thirds of what I store is up on either OneDrive or on my Common Drive. So, yes, there's a few things on here, but they're mostly things in work right now. Otherwise, no, they're not stored on here. Software would be what I would lose, and I did lose a couple times on here. Would you be willing to pay those risks? Depends on the payoff, maybe? Now, this is up to you guys. Are you interested in how you get involved, or do you want me to skip on? Yes. Cool. So how do you get involved? Somebody tell me their favorite game, app, piece of software, whatever. The thing they use the most, besides the operating system. Pac-Man. Actually, there are three different Pac-Mans that are being developed by students right now that are all in beta test and which are on one of the two sites I'm going to give you a link to in a little bit. Anybody else? Ah! I've actually been heavily beta testing Windows Solitaire because that new Solitaire is pretty fun. No, I'm not going to pay the $10 a year to get rid of the ads. For 10 seconds, I can leave them. That also applies to Mahjong and a few other things like that. I haven't yet gotten on the beta team for Candy Crush. I'm not far enough along yet. Anybody else got a favorite piece of software? Load Runner? Actually, they're looking right now for beta testers. Have you contacted them? You should. What else? What? I didn't hear you. Clippage? Oh, Clippage! Yes! They are not in beta right now because they're not doing any active development at the moment, but they have a very good beta team, and they actually will put on the website when they're looking for new beta people. And that was supposed to happen within, they're going to have a new version now for Windows 10, but it'll be a little bit. Oh, they're not upgrading it. New people are writing it. The actual... Yeah. But the people who own Pac-Man, Nintendo, are actually updating it constantly for the new hardware. Because every time hardware changes and operating systems change, they get faster. And if you tried to run the old Pac-Man on the current hardware, it would burn up. Anybody here use Corel's programs? Okay, I have a bad news for you. They don't do beta testing anymore. They canceled their beta programs about the same time they canceled all their connections with us as user groups. They keep telling us that both are going to come back. What does that tell you about my opinion of Corel? I don't like them. If they don't care enough to have users giving them feedback, then why should I use their software? Microsoft may not always do what I ask them to do when I report a bug, but I at least know someone has seen it. What? Corel makes WordPerfect and Draw, PaintShop Pro, several other things like that. It is, but you know what? They've been updating all of them through all these years. Well, I'm not going there because... Yep. Turbo Intuit is great for their beta program. If you can get into Intuit's beta programs, you've got it made. They gave you free copies of the tax software, didn't they? You could have gotten it. Yep. Intuit's rule is that if you report more than 5 bugs on any particular year of tax software, you get on the list to get a free copy the next tax year. Well, that's because they don't expect more than a few people too, but they do track who gets in the info. Same thing for Quicken and Quicken and all the other products. Sure. I've been waiting for that question this whole time. How do you beta test software when the things it attaches to aren't there yet? In the case of Windows 10, we got lucky. We happened to have a printer that worked with the generic print drivers that Microsoft provided. We also got lucky in 90% of what we do, we send a PDF and print that. But in general, they want to know if your piece of hardware doesn't work with Windows 10, send it up as a bug right away. Because Microsoft can go and get that driver fixed much faster than you can go and get that driver fixed. Yep. And whereas HP will tell consumers, well, you know, you just need to buy a new printer, they're sure as heck not going to tell Microsoft you got to go buy all the new printers that we've just put in your offices in so-and-so place. We didn't have any problem with printers. Yeah, in fact, we'll talk about a graph. Notice I don't have my graphics driver problem now that I was going to explain it. Mm-hmm. It depends. Okay, the question is, when you get a new operating system, will the existing hardware work? It may not. It all depends on how closely they follow the rules. Software is just rules that tell hardware how to do what it wants it to do. And if the people who built the drivers didn't build it right, it's not going to work. And yes, that's even if it's a brand new piece. Now, right now, almost everything that's out there that you're buying is compatible with Windows 10. Because in that respect, if they're compatible with 8.1, they're going to be compatible, for the most part, with 10. Can't guarantee it, but pretty close. So, you've got a program. You want to get in the beta. What was it that was set up here about Intuit? Could you say that really loud? What did you do? She answered questions and asked questions. That's number one with a bullet. If the game you're playing or the tool you're using has a forum or a community space or a Facebook page or a Twitter account, talk to them. Look for other people's questions and answer them if you can. Really great if you can say, instead of Google it yourself, here's the link to your answer. The more the community recognizes you, the more likely the people at the company will recognize you and say, do you want to come be in our beta? Once you've started doing it and you've learned whatever you're going to use, learn more about it. For example, before I go to beta test any Codename Games, I go to their blog and I go to the forum and I read every single entry that anybody else has already made about that particular game. Read their entire hidden site about that game so that I can figure out what I'm going to do to break it. It is a big hurdle. That's why I don't recommend doing it for a bunch of things at once. Pick one piece of software that you know already and find their community and get involved in it. It should work for us, but engineers don't always think that way. And the longer we're going onto the net, the less people are writing help documentation. The less people are doing training. But you know what? There's still an awful lot of money to be made out there by learning something and being able to train it or to write about it. I have a good friend who just published his 40th Excel book because the stuff he writes about just isn't in the documentation anymore. Help documents? Who reads those? A book with cocktail recipes? Those I'll read. That book, by the way, is called Excel? It's basically the word Mr. Excel and XL because it's his 40th book and it's XL is Excel. Bill Jelen, Mr. Excel. Jelen, J-E-L-E-N. He's known as Mr. Excel. Yep. So once you've learned it, learned the software, or even are starting it, start watching for opportunities. Some companies will put a big banner up at the top that says, we're looking for beta testers. They're looking for anybody and everybody who can come help. Sometimes you have to go read, or you have to troll some news sites and look for who's putting out new stuff. Sign up. And that last one is the biggie. If you consistently sign up for a beta and don't participate, people will stop letting you play. But if you consistently send in things, positive and negative, they'll let you keep playing. And once you're in a beta for a company's products, usually they'll keep you there for all their products. They'll ask you, would you like to beta test this? Would you like to beta test that? Yes, it is. They do want, almost anybody who's good, whether they know it or not, wants the novice as a beta tester. Because you're going to do things that they never thought about. And that's actually how I break it 9 times out of 10, as I stop and picture, okay, what would my mother do? She's never looked at this piece of software, she'd click there. Yep, immediate loss of data. Let's report that one. That is, in fact, thinking like a beginner is the best way to find the bugs. So now I'm going to give you how to find betas. First option, if you know a developer, you know somebody who's writing an app for an Android, know somebody who's writing an iPhone app, tell them you want to beta test it. The second option is to go to a bunch of different sites, one of a bunch of different sites. Fluvius Media, anybody know what Fluvius makes? What? It's the Fluvius River, that's what they're named after. They make internet radio. They're looking actively for beta testers, so much so that it's at the top of their site. We need beta testers, or want to beta test, or I don't remember what the current phrase is, and they change it so that people actually notice. Connect.microsoft.com. Look there, you'll find out what Microsoft has out in beta right now. It's where you get the info if you're really interested in beta testing Office 2016. Now that next one's kind of cute. Microsoft/some stuff/playtest. What do you suppose playtest lets you test? Xbox games of all kinds. Windows Phone games. Games in the App Store. Now you gotta pass some requirements to get in and do it. You gotta have a Microsoft account. Well, if you're on Windows 8 or Windows 10, you probably already have one of those. But then you can go sign up to test games. And that last one. If you use Facebook on the Android and you want to dip your toe into beta testing, go to this site, and I will actually make these links available afterwards. I would go to them now, but we're kind of running a little bit long. But this is so that you can actually get on the list for Facebook to test each new Android version of the Facebook software. I honestly haven't done this one yet because I'm afraid to. I break Facebook enough as it is. If I had a pre-beta version. Third thing you can do is you can go to some sites out there that are actually built around connecting developers with beta testers. BetaBound is awesome. They always have a list of things. They are a very reputable company. They actually do beta testing for several companies you know of. And let's just say the two biggest companies I do my beta testing for have both been known to use BetaBound. I'm under NDA, so I can't say which ones. Oh, I didn't get there yet, did I? Anybody know what an NDA is? Tell us. Non-disclosure agreement. When you do a beta test, you will be asked to sign one. Maybe. All it says is, usually, I agree to not tell anyone till you say I can that I've been beta testing this product. I kind of like giving them my right name. If I don't give them the right name, the things they send to me never get to the packages, never get to me. It's kind of that six of one, half a dozen of the other. Honestly, I've never had a company abuse the NDAs that they've had me sign. And I'm only under NDA on one beta testing program right now, out of all the testing I'm doing. User testing and beta family are general betas. And I'm going to get it wrong. I think it's user testing. One of those two actually will pay you $5 or $10 or $15 if the developer agrees upon it, if you meet the requirements that they've put in for the user testing, for the beta testing. The bottom three are gamers tests. And that isn't just shoot 'em ups. That's actually where you can go to get on the beta test list for almost any game that you can think of. And I said earlier, I don't beta test Candy Crush. I never applied. Because even I have to have a couple of things that aren't going to break on me. And as soon as I sign up to beta test, it will start to break. So we've kind of covered what's involved. Covered the NDA. See, he's really good at jumping ahead, isn't he? They're going to ask you to play it. They may ask you to try things. Well, you're going to try things that other people won't. They may ask you to try specific things. They ask you to notice things that aren't right. Report the problems. And if they have questions or if they want you to take a survey, they expect you to take it. That's really not much. Spend an hour a week on beta testing a piece of software. That's a lot of involvement. And if it's something you're going to be using or playing on a regular basis, why not? Hey, it's sometimes fun to walk in a t-shirt and everybody goes, okay, where'd you get that one? The last thing I want to talk about is bug reports. Bug reports. Would you do me a favor? Would you read my t-shirt to these people? Bug hunt. That one. If you want, I'll get somebody else to read it.
Made one little change, and now it's not working. Welcome to the next 15 hours of your life.
This is my beta testing shirt. This shirt is available on, wasn't it Woot? I think it is a Woot shirt. A bug report is how you tell someone it's broken. It's very simple, really. It's a title, 5 or 10 words, summarize what happened. Then a little bit of details about what you did, then what you expected to happen, what really happened. And a screenshot or a screen recording of you doing what happens. If you're working on a recipe, you're going to have somebody else test out that recipe to make sure you typed it right, correct? Most of the time? I'll tell you that if you don't, you'll end up in the situation my sisters and I were in. When my mother gave us our meatloaf recipe, she put two steps out of order. And she didn't know it, and we didn't know it, and we couldn't figure out for 5 years why the damn thing didn't taste right. It was just the simple thing of swapping the meat when you add the egg and when you add the oatmeal. It doesn't work if you add the oatmeal, add the egg, and then the and rest it, and then add the oatmeal. It does not work. That's the level of... Oh, sorry. On this meatloaf, if you add, you're supposed to, you put the meat in, you put the oatmeal in, you put the egg in, you mix it, you let it stand. The egg and oatmeal. That's how my mother makes meat. Oh, that would be really good. No, oatmeal. But when she sent us the recipes, as we all graduated high school, she said, add the meat, add the egg, let it rest, add the oatmeal, mix it together and put it in the oven. It was really rock hard and terrible. And my mother's meatloaf is my favorite dish next to chocolate. And we'll put the meatloaf recipe up there. I love to share my mother's meatloaf. Let's put it this way. It's like a barbecue. So, a screenshot. What's a screenshot? A picture of what's going on the screen. And if you're using a modern version of Windows, as in anything since... 7, I think, had the screenshotter in it. Didn't 7? I actually, it might be in Vista. There's actually a program for you to take print screens and to do nice things. Even better, TechSmith makes... Oh, print screen. Yep. But all print screen on the newer ones can give you the funky things. If you go to if you go to Google or Bing and search for TechSmith, TechSmith, space, Jing, J-I-N-G. They give it away for free. It does screenshots. It does screen recordings up to 5 minutes. It comes with web space on one of their servers. A ton of web space. I've never topped it out. And when you put your stuff up there from Jing, all you have to give somebody is the link to the screenshot. Instead of the screenshot itself. It depends. If you can reproduce it, and you can provide a screen recording of the reproduction of the bug, that's gold to a developer. If it's a one-time, or if it's something you can't undo, you're not going to have a screen recording, you're just going to have a screenshot at the end. But you'd be amazed at how many of your problems... You're going to go back and go, yep, I can reproduce that, and I can get it down to exactly these 4 steps. And developers love it, because then they don't have to go figure out where the problem is. They watch what you did that they didn't and go, bleh, sorry. I was going to go over sample bug reports, but I think I'm going to say that it's time for a break. 10 minutes? Well, does anybody have any questions for me before we hand it off to Bruce? If not, thank you very much for your attention. I really appreciate it.
Hello, my name is Bruce Jacobs. I've been doing user group stuff for a long time and beta testing for a while and such. Yeah, there's a couple things I would add to Kathy's thing. There's times in which we have, excuse me? Yeah, there have been times in which we've actually, by going through and knowing, knowing what's going on, there have been times when we have had, Microsoft actually has asked us to do things, and sometimes you'll get, even if you do enough of it, you'll get access to stuff before the general public is even told about stuff. And that's when you really start seeing the NDAs and such. So I'm going to talk to you about Windows 10. What you need to know about it. It's coming. Okay, well, it's actually here now. And hopefully I'm not going to run too long or anything like that. I'm going to try and talk slow. So we'll see how this goes. Okay? I am not Microsoft. I don't work for Microsoft. I have done some volunteer things at times. There's been a couple times when I've done contracting for Microsoft. One time developing some training materials and for them. because of the fact that I'd been doing enough beta testing, and then I had to do screenshots and some arguments to say, no, that's not new. I don't care what you say here. Here's how you did it in this version and two versions back. So you learn, and I got paid for that. But for the most part, I haven't, gotten paid for Microsoft. And there's a couple times when I've been doing demos at trade shows and so on, because they give you a Microsoft shirt and you go up and stand and ask questions and no one finds out that you don't actually work for Microsoft. But I'm going to tell you my opinions of things, okay? And it's not necessarily what Microsoft would want you to hear. Okay. We beta tested Windows 10 starting March and stuff like that. There's a place where you can actually go through and do feedback on what you have seen. Around the 1st of July, I think, I went and looked, and 86 things that I had found, other people had found, and said, oh, they went and looked, oh, yeah, I'm having the same problem he found first. So we found quite a bit of stuff. We've been, like Kathy said, we've been beta testing things for years, okay, way back when various software. Several computers, we have used five main computers we've been using for Windows 10 testing, three laptops, touch screens, things like that, upgrades, one full-up regular ordinary desktop machine, and one that's an all-in-one type of thing with a touch screen and stuff like that that HP made. Your mileage will vary. What you see is going to be different than what we saw, because we had five different machines and we saw different things on the different machines. Now, I should warn you, there are some legitimate concerns about Windows 10, and then there are some people out in the media, particularly right at the time that it went out, there were some people out there who, if you knew what was going on with Windows 10 and you read what they said, they were deliberately, I really believe that they were deliberately trying to scare everybody about it, okay, for some crazy reason, okay? There's some stuff to be a little bit nervous about. But, you know, the idea that it's a subscription program and they keep hyping on that long after it's been denied, things like that. So I'm going to talk about things, and hopefully I'll get here far enough advanced, quick enough at the end here, I can do a little bit of a demo. Okay? Microsoft has said, this will be your last operating system. Okay? So what they're talking about is, there is supposedly not going to be a Windows 11, a Windows 12, or anything else like that. They want to get everybody on what they're going to call Windows 10, and then they're going to continue to do updates, and based on your hardware and features, you will continue to get the newest stuff. They looked at it, and they said they're not going to deal with these, what they call big bang builds.
Actually, what it really means is that they got
China. So, now, I have to be a little concerned about this, but this is they've publicly announced, and if they change this, they're probably going to get sued. There's some other things that they announced early on in Windows 10 that, like everybody who did beta testing gets a free copy and things like that. Some of that stuff they've deleted the pages on, so I'm not sure how that's all going to work. But this is going to this should happen. Okay. They did RTM, which was released to manufacturing, the 29th of July. That means they made DVDs, and they sent them out to companies like HP and so on, HP and Dell and so on, and this you can install in a machine and it's going to work, and if it doesn't work, you can get support, kind of. Okay. They still say, if you have a problem with your Dell Windows 10 machine, call Dell first. But if Dell has enough problems, they're going to call Microsoft. So they've gone through and done that. So the 29th of July, okay, and now they said it's a free operating system, okay. If you are on Windows 8.1 and you're fully up to date, or Service Pack 1 for Windows 7 and you're fully up to date, you have a free opportunity to upgrade for a year. Okay? So what happens is you just go in and you say, I'm going to go through and I'm going to reserve my copy. It'll buzz around a while and you'll get a note that says, hey, it's free, and you get your operating system. But you have to have purchased one of these previous ones. And there's some little limitations that I'm going to talk about in a second about this. But that, okay. Now, what that means is, if you do it now, or you do it before the middle of July, let's say, next year, okay, and I wouldn't be surprised if they extend this, but let's just say middle of July next year, you'll get a copy for life on that particular set of hardware. Or if you own a retail license, you get that retail license upgraded for the life, for life, for one machine, for that machine. Okay? If you go in and say, I'm going to wait, and I'm going to wait until September of 2016 or 2017, and then you want to upgrade, Microsoft says at this point you're going to have to pay for that upgrade. But you're not going to be doing this, you know, after a year. They say the upgrade is free for a year. The upgrade opportunity is free for a year. But they're not going to have a subscription thing going on here for that. Okay. And there's been a lot of fear-mongering about that up on the web. Okay. It's not for Vista. It's not for XP. And it's not for people who don't do the updates. It's also not for people who have what's called enterprise. Okay. And you shouldn't be anybody who has that. Those are copies that are done at big businesses. They buy it. They pay for a subscription, and they've been out for many, many years. Clear back before Vista, there's been the enterprise stuff. They pay for a subscription, and they get to put whatever they want to pretty much on machines. There's all sorts of fine print. If you're in a big company like a bank, and your machine is sitting at Windows 7 or Windows 8 fully upgraded, and you have an IT department, your IT department doesn't want everybody to go in the first morning and all start doing the updates. Those people are going to want to get control. You know, the IT department's going to want to know when it's done. Also, if you stop paying for your subscription, they don't want you to upgrade. So that's why the enterprise copy. There are a few people I know who have enterprise who aren't part of big companies. Microsoft did hand some of them out as giveaways at one point in time. Yes? Yeah, you probably have it. Okay, unless you've turned off your automatic updates, you almost certainly have it on there. Okay? But it's been out for 3 or 4 years, something like that, I think. Yes? Yeah, I have a bad habit. Okay, the first question was, about Service Pack 1, yes, there's a Windows Service Pack, or Windows 7 Service Pack 1, and you should be on it, because there's lots of bug fixes and so on. Yes, and then the other second question was about risks, because when you do your update, you could lose everything. We're going there. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Okay, upgrading. Yes, sorry. Yes. Yes, oh yeah. Unless you've gone in and turned off your updates, chances are you have this. Yes. They want everybody on Windows 10. Okay. And there's lots of different reasons why, and some of them are not necessarily public, and some of them are, I'm going to speculate. Microsoft has to have a team of people, lots of people, probably thousands of people, whose job it is to maintain each of these operating systems. Okay. And they have to go through and have support staff and all that. They want everybody on the same operating system. And from Microsoft's point of view, Windows 10 is the way to go, and they want everybody on that. Okay? So that's really what they're trying to do. And by going through and getting everybody on the same thing, okay, they can go through and they can have a lot more people working on the current stuff. If you've ever done software support and worked with old, old versions of stuff, it can be a nightmare. And they, like XP was 10 years. Yes. Okay. So, in general, okay, the question is if you're on Windows 7 and you upgrade to Windows 10, okay, what happens is, in theory, okay, what it does is it replaces the copy of Windows 7 on your machine with Windows 10. Okay? If you do it within the first year, within 30 days after you do the upgrade, you can decide you don't like it and you can roll it back. Okay? There are ways of going through and doing, if you've got enough licenses, there's ways of going through and doing dual boots and so on. It can be a little vague whether or not that's perfectly 100% legal to do. Okay? We have multiple boot machines here, but you can, in theory, within a month, you can go in and say, there's a place to go in, and you say, no, I want to roll back to the current release, the previous release. And I have a friend who did that last week, okay? After a month, there's some discussion about whether or not it's legal to do that or not. You probably could talk Microsoft into doing it. Only if something goes wrong. That machine right here we're running on is a Windows 7 Pro, and we just went through and we upgraded it with the beta, and we had no problems on that machine. I got a Windows 8 machine down here that wouldn't boot afterwards. But, you know, and so when it wouldn't completely boot, you couldn't get into the menu that says, go and roll me back. Yes? Now, when you go through and you do the reservation, okay, down inside, and this, I have to go and pull up a Windows 7 machine if I was going to show you this. Inside that little reservation button down there, there's a place you can go in and you get a menu, and it goes through and it tells you, it does kind of a compatibility check, and it looks at stuff. And that's their guess as to what's going on, okay? This machine was used in a production environment in a computer company, in a software company for testing and so on, and it had all sorts of really interesting things, you know, problem logging, all sorts of stuff like that. Everything came over okay. But it's not a guarantee, okay? So I can't guarantee you it's all going to work. But we have had very, very good luck with, I mean, just incredible stuff. When we first got Windows 10, I went through and I grabbed all my little loose pieces of hardware, floppy drives, USB zip drives, stuff like that. Floppy drives even worked, which they're not supposed to. There was nothing we had that wouldn't work that was just an extra peripheral. We had a couple problems with the all-in-one, okay? But most of that's even been fixed, okay? Upgrading? Please, please, please back up first, okay? All right? Like I said, we had one machine that we did the upgrade, and it would go through, and you go, everything's fine. You go in and log in, and then it would say, there's been a severe error. Try rebooting. If not, you will need to reinstall the operating system. And that's what we had to do. Now, I'm an IT guy, and my wife's different IT, sort of IT guy, okay, person, okay? And we have the ability to go through and scratch build stuff and go through and put new hard drives and all that sort of thing in there. But if we hadn't, we'd have been in trouble. Now, I don't know what the official policy is, but if I had a laptop and I went through and did update it, and it didn't boot afterwards, I'd be right down to the Microsoft store and saying, come fix this. So I'm going to recommend that you wait a while, okay? Because there are people having problems. This is the cleanest build like this that Microsoft has ever shipped, as far as I've been able to see, in years and years and years. But there has been problems, yes. If you're, it depends on how important that machine is to you. I would say, this is a guess. This is just a guess, okay. If you're on Windows 8 after Christmas, okay. If you're, let's say, Windows 7, you might want to wait longer because there's less reason to do it in some sorts of ways. I'll talk about it in a moment. I would say after tax time, okay. But, let the people who are really wanting to get into the bleeding edges of things and so on, let them have their pain first. That's what we're here for. We'll probably know before that. There have been some little problems recently. It's been very, very clean. But if it's your only machine, I would wait for a few months probably to do that. Okay? Yes. There won't be a 10.1. I really, really doubt it. Yeah. I mean, we have contacts inside Microsoft, okay? Not a lot like we used to, okay? But there might be a 10.1, but it won't be called something like that. And I don't really think there's going to be, I don't think, this is really clean. For the most people, this really, really is nice, okay? So, other than the one situation, we haven't gone back on any of the machines. Yes? I don't know. Okay? It may make you wait. You're one step ahead of me. Okay. Now, a week after this came out, 14 million people were on Windows 10. There were more people on Windows 10 than there were on 8 within a week. Okay? Microsoft was up until like the middle of July, they were saying, everybody's going to get on the 29th, and all of us IT people and project, you know, all the people who are beta testing were going, I'm going to hide in the corner. Then they went in and said, okay, we're going to phase it out. Two things could be going on. One of them, they don't want huge mess in the press. So they are phasing it in and out. They're phasing it in slowly. Okay? I'd like to believe, when you sign up for this, you sign up for all, you say, oh, well, I'll let Microsoft look at all this stuff. And it's quite possible Microsoft has, this particular driver has been giving us problems, because that's the Windows Insiders, it's the beta testers, have been seeing problems with it. And I hope that Microsoft is looking out there and saying, these things are causing problems. We're going to let those people sit for a month or two. That's my hope. And I said, there's a place you can go. You can go in and reserve it. And then 4 hours later, you can go to a website and you can say, give it to me now. Okay? And it will do that. I do not recommend that. Yes? Okay, if you're fully up to date on Windows 7 or on Windows 8, you'll see a little window, a new little thing down in your taskbar. Okay, and you go in and click on there and it says, reserve my copy today. And that's where you reserve it. And then what happens is that over time, it'll start doing the downloads for it. And at some point in time, then it'll say, hey, it's ready. Do you want to go? And then there'll be a reboot, and you'll be, in theory, an hour. But in practice, I would say about 6 hours is what you should take out. Well, your computer's on the web. Okay? And you go down in the taskbar down there, and there's a little Windows icon. You click on that, and you say, reserve my copy. Okay, and at that point in time, you'll answer a question or a EULA or something, and then it'll go through, and somewhere in the background, when there's nothing much going on, it'll start downloading copies of the files that it needs to do the update. When it has enough of those, and it is approved by Microsoft, you'll be sitting there someday, and you'll get a message up saying, hey, you know, it's ready to go. Now, I have to say, I haven't seen that, because we've been doing beta testing, and we did an upgrade. Okay, this guy was upgraded on a beta. We've got another machine that I went through and I updated using the standard way. I started with an 8.1 clean build. And it was waiting too long, and I wanted to have it done by now, so I went and brute forced it. So I don't know for sure what that looks like, but there'll be a thing that pops up, and you'll say, yes, I want to do it, and then it'll take it and you'll reboot. Yes? Yes, that's basically what it is. And that last set may not be just because not enough download. It may be because Microsoft hasn't approved you to do it yet. Yes? Okay. It's much more like Windows 7 than 8. Okay? If you've got two ways of not doing the upgrade, one is just ignore that icon down in the corner. And there's some stuff on the web you can get rid of that icon. The other thing you can do is after you do your step, is my understanding, it'll come in and say, do you want to upgrade? And you can say, oh, absolutely not, at that point in time. You can also, any time along the path between the time you reserve it and the time it actually wants to do the upgrade, you can go in and cancel supposedly. Again, this is something I haven't done. Yes, and I've got to get going here because I'm running out of time. Yes. You know, as far as they're concerned, if you have Windows XP or Vista or something else on the machine, it's just bare metal as far as they're concerned. You have to go to Amazon or someplace and actually buy a copy of it. There's no upgrade path from XP to Windows 10. No, you're going to pay the full retail price for it, no matter what, at the time. I would wait until you're happy with it. I would probably wait until after Christmas too. Okay, sorry, I was understanding. The question was basically, when should you upgrade if you're from another version? Yes. Yes, that is one of the. Okay, the question is, if you stop going through and if you just stay on Windows 7, will they eventually stop supporting Windows, if you stay on Windows 7, will they eventually stop supporting it? Yes. At some point in time, they're going to do that. There's arguments about how long it is. I think they're not going to extend the date on Windows 7 at all anymore. Other people strongly disagree with me, and I don't know. Okay. Okay. Can I go on? Yes. Okay, because we're running out of time here. When you get your update, okay, you're going to see this screen, okay? You're going to see this screen coming up, okay? And down here, I don't know where the laser printer on pointer is. There's a thing that says customize settings. Okay? I'm going to strongly recommend you go in there and read through that. And I'm going to have a link at the end that talks about these privacy settings. Okay? A lot of scare tactics about this. Okay? There are some things in there Microsoft could use to abuse. They're not putting keyloggers on your machines though. Okay? So, but read through that and read through the article I'll give you a link to so you can understand that. But look at this. Don't just click right on through because you might be upset. Okay, issues. There are some, and I'm going to zip through this now because we're way behind. Bugs, drivers, almost everything. Everything works that as far as I see. Everything drivers have been found for everything that I've been finding. Okay, even stuff that they don't support anymore, I found drivers for. Just that some things don't work. Okay, like if you've got a tuner card, that's not going to work anymore unless you get special drivers from the hardware. Okay, so be careful about that. It's a tuner card. It's an antenna converter that you can go through and use to record TV programs. Okay? They're going to remove some things from your machine. There's a thing called Media Center. There's the thing called Media Center, which is different from Media Player, which lets you do DVD movies, and it lets you do, if you've got the right hardware, you can go through and use your computer as a DVR. Okay? Record television programs. If you have Solitaire on there, the Windows 7 Solitaire, it'll uninstall that. And there's some other things that it's going to uninstall. But these are the big two things that people are upset about. Okay. New process for Windows Update. And this hasn't been laid out really great deal in the press. This we kind of got officially, but from our Microsoft contents. Okay. What's happening is most people out there, they just go through and they say, yes, I want Microsoft to do all my updates whenever. Okay. Microsoft goes through, they make a fix, and if it's, oh, and all this is for not emergencies. They make a fix, they test it inside Microsoft, they go through, and then they put it on the machines of the people who work inside Microsoft, and they call that dog food. Most people call it alpha. Then they're going to go through, and they're going to give it out to people who are Windows Insider. We're volunteers, and you can go in, there's some settings that I'm not going to go to here, that actually go through and say, give me stuff before anybody else gets it. They're going to send these patches out to us, okay? And the Windows Insiders, we're going to get the patch, and we can go do feedback on it and say, hey, this is wrong, this is great, and so on. This is how they're going to do things like adding new products called like Windows Hello and other things that they haven't announced yet. This is how they're going to come out now. They're going to come out like this. And there's like two tracks. There's a fast and a slow track for the Insiders, and we will be able to get that stuff and look at it beforehand. And they'll send us a note to saying, hey, this is here. If you're on Windows 10, after that point, enough people are happy with it, if you're on Windows 10 and you're on the home version, you're getting it. If you're on the web, boom, it's going to be on your machine. Okay? And at this point in time, you do not have the ability to stop that. Okay? Short of doing some hacks and things like that, there are some things that you could probably do to stop that. If you do enough of it, Microsoft will probably unlicense your software because you agree to this in the EULA. Okay? Then, people who are in businesses and they have an IT department, the IT department can decide when these things go out and when reboots are. If you're on Windows 10 Home, the only thing you're really going to do is you're going to be able to control, hopefully, if you set it up right, you're going to be able to control when you do the reboot. Okay? And you'll just come in and it'll be in the morning, you'll log in and, oh, hey, there's something new on my machine. Possibly. In most cases, you won't even know something happened. But the process of going through and looking at your updates and watching it spin and whir and all that sort of stuff and unselecting things, that's all gone. Okay. They're doing it torrent-like. Okay. We have five machines at home. One of our machines is going to get the new update. It's going to install it, and it's going to keep kind of a copy of it, and then all pieces of the copies of it. And then the next machine, when it goes out to check in updates, it's going to look at all the machines in our little local network. If it finds it, it grabs it. If not, it may go to other machines around. If it can't find it anywhere, it'll go get Microsoft. And this is what's caused some of those issues about privacy, because you're agreeing to, unless you're going to shut it off, you're agreeing to allow everybody to source it. You can turn this off so that all the machines have to go to Microsoft for it. Okay, emergencies, they're just going to jam it out like they do now. But there's probably not going to be a patch Tuesday anymore. Maybe. Yes? No, you have to go through, you get the icon, you say, I want to reserve it. Oh, yes. If you're on the Windows 10 Pro, okay. If you're on Professional, Enterprise, or Ultimate versions of Windows 7, you will get Windows 10 Professional. If you're on the Professional version of Windows 8.1, you will get the Professional version of Windows 10. Oh, Enterprise people get Enterprise. Sorry. Okay. So the question was, which upgrade do you get? Also, if you're on a 32-bit version of any version of Windows and you need an upgrade, you're going to be in the same version. You don't go from 32 to 64, and you can't go from a 64 version of Windows 7 to a 32-bit version of Windows 10 without having to go through and reinstall everything from scratch. Okay. Media Center, they've been trying to get rid of this since Vista. Okay, it was an add-on item in some editions, clear back in Vista, because they have to pay a license. Every time somebody has a machine that they ship or software that they ship that lets a machine watch DVDs, they have to pay licensing fees. And businesses, which is their big thing, they don't want people watching DVDs at work. And also, most machines shipped now anymore don't have a DVD player. So they're not going to pay for this license, okay? There's a program you can get called VLC Player. The licensing on it is a little bit gray, but I like it, okay? As long as you don't host it here in the U.S., you're probably okay. These guys aren't paying the royalty fees, so this is free. There's a VLC that's in the Microsoft Store. That's not the one you want. You want to go get the one off the web, okay? Microsoft sells their own DVD player, and there's some other ones. Microsoft One is $15, $14.99, okay? The DVR functions where you can tape stuff, somebody has to go through and do updates on the guide for that, and they don't want to do that anymore. So if you have this on your machine and you upgrade, it's gone. So those people who have home theater PC stuff need to be really serious about that. And it's gone. Okay? Media Player is still there, which is a different thing. Microsoft could do a better job of keeping track of what they name things. Okay? Other items going away. Solitaire's going away. If you have Solitaire or Mahjong or something like that, one of the free games from Microsoft, when you do the update, it's going to go away. Okay. But there are free versions that are ad-supported up on the web that you can get, and frankly, I like them a lot better. Desk accessories, there was a thing in, it was called widgets in Windows Vista. It's called desk accessories in Windows 7. There was all sorts of problems security-wise with this. These are going to be uninstalled. A lot of this stuff you can get in different form on the store. Stuff that's new to everybody, there's this thing called Cortana. It's basically like Siri. It's an outgrowth of Microsoft's speech recognition stuff that they did way back in Vista. I don't know if most people know it, but you know this Dragon Naturally Speaking? There's a speech recognition. If you've got Vista or later, you've got speech recognition and you can speak to your computer and it'll record stuff if you've got a microphone. But this has let you do things like set up announcements. You can answer questions. It'll tell you jokes. I think there's some potential here. I'm not particularly impressed with what they've done so far with it. See, I don't like everything Microsoft does. In Vista and Windows 7, you needed the Ultimate to have multiple languages on your machine at once. I'm not sure with Windows 8, but with Windows 10, you can put multiple languages on there. So if you have a foreign exchange student or something, you can go through and have this particular login be in Spanish and stuff like that. There's like 47 languages they've encoded. It's really shocking. Windows Feedback. There's a tool you can use, and you go in and you say Windows Feedback, and you can go through and say, I don't like this, and I've had this problem here, whatever. You can type it up in, you can take a screenshot and send information, and people at Microsoft look at this. Now, you could do this before there was Microsoft Suggest or something. They had some name for it. But this is much nicer. It's built in. In some cases, it'll go in and say, oh, would you like to go through and reproduce the problem? And they will go through and do a steps recording of what you've done and then ship it on up. And there's screenshots that are easy to do in here. So it's kind of nice. And that's what we're going to get. There's an insider hub you can access if you're an insider that tells you what's new in this latest set of stuff. They've done a bunch of things to integrate with Xbox, so they can do videos of games and chat and stuff like that. And I'm going to kind of rush through this. There's some cool stuff there, but I'm going to zip through it because we're really short on time. There's a thing called Task View. This came from this originally we were seeing this on Linux boxes and then started seeing it on Macintosh. You can go through and say, okay, I've got this screen and here's where I'm doing my work. And then over here I'm going to put my games and here I'm going to put my Facebook. And you can go through and you can have all these programs running, but you can have them in little separate windows. So you can click real quick if your boss is coming and things like that. But it's kind of nice because you can have things like you can have your taxes or something like that over there and your kid comes by and you can have them do something separately or you can keep things organized. But at first it takes a little bit, and if I get a chance I'll show you that real quick. Thing that they talk about this called Continuum. Basically you've seen these ads for these computers where you take the keyboard and such not off. If you set this up and if you let this run and you can turn it off, when you unplug the keyboard, it goes to a much more Windows 8 type of interface. Okay, so it detects whether you've got a keyboard and such not on there. You plug the keyboard and the mouse back in, and it goes, okay, you're a real computer again, and it'll swap back to the other interface without having to deal with it. But you can override this, too, generally. We have a bug. If I get a chance, I'll show you sometime how to actually do the show a bug. There's a thing called Edge. It's the new browser. It's quite a bit faster, and it's a lot more secure. This is originally called Spartan, but it's now, okay. It was terrible at first, and now it's, in the last month and a half or two, the last 2 months, they've done an incredible amount of work on this, and it's much, much better. But it lets you do a couple things like drawing on the screen and sharing information about that. And there's a thing called Reader View you can do where you can go on and, like my mom does genealogy, but she lives in dial-up land. So she could go down to the library, and she could pull up all bunches of stuff on Ancestry.com, and she can save those websites easily. And then she can go in, and she can go home, and she's not on it, she can go and look at the stuff. Yes? Okay. No, it's still there, and when we get to the demo, we'll bring up Edge. And if you have a situation, and I haven't seen anything that I've needed in 2 months, but just a little over 2 months ago, I was at a Days Inn. And you know the screens you have to log in? I went to log in with Edge. Sorry. The question was, is Internet Explorer totally gone? And no, it's not. Not at this time. And we went in to go through and log in to the screen. And the login screen didn't work. But there's a place you can go up into Internet Explorer. You click up in the corner and you say, open this page in Edge. You click up in the corner and it says, open this in Internet Explorer. Brings it up. You put your login information in. Okay, cool. And then you're going back and using Edge. Yes, there was a question back there. Google is just a browser, and yes, you can do this. You can run Chrome and Firefox on this as well, and we're doing that. So they haven't done anything to get rid of Google. Yes? Oh, you did Classic Shell or something equivalent? Okay. He's got Windows 8, and he's converted over to use Classic Shell. Yes? You may find that you don't need Classic Shell because it's much more Windows 7-like. However, I have been told the Classic Shell still runs on Windows 10. Yes? That's probably... Removing Classic Shell... Uninstalling Classic Shell before upgrading to Windows 10 is probably a very good idea. Okay. Yes? Okay. Upgrade to Windows 7? Okay, yeah. I believe that support is going to not be extended. Some people don't agree, but it's a very similar operating system, and it really depends on how much the enterprise-level people will accept it. So I'm going to kind of flash through this. In beta, they gave us full-up Office apps you could go to and download free copies of Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. Then when they went live with the new version, the latest version, and then they went to RTM, they said, oh, by the way, if you don't have an Office 365 subscription, these are read-only. I could be doing this on the Office app. I could do it on the they call it the PowerPoint mobile is what they call them. Word mobile and mobile. I could be doing this and you wouldn't know. When I got out, the menus looked different. But they're doing a very good job, but you need to tie them to an Office 365 subscription. Otherwise, when you open them up, you get read-only at the top and you can't make any changes. That answer your question? Okay. No, they've integrated this quite a bit better. You can go through, when you set yourself up in your Microsoft account, anything you buy in the store goes with your Microsoft account. And you can go through and, like, one of the really nice things about this is if you go to Windows 10 and you set your synchronizations up properly, I've gone through and gone, okay, look at this, okay, cool, and then I go to a new machine, and you know how much of a pain that is when you start with a new machine, you've got to go through and bring your cookies and everything over. I go over to the machine, my synchronization's going on, I log in the first time, it is hi, we're getting things ready for you with some screens, and then when I log in the rest of the way, my screen background's there, I go into Google, and I get into my Gmail, I go into Amazon, I'm logged in, and it knows that I'm an affiliate. All of that stuff worked fine. I'm not guaranteeing it's going to work for everybody, but it's really nice because you don't have to go through and hook up the cable and move all those files around. Yes. Yes. And Skype will let you log in as your Microsoft account and go. Yes. It's not any different other than in the desktop application version of Skype should be avoided. Okay, and it's going away. I got to really go quick. Go ahead. No. If you go back old enough, like 2003 or something, it won't. Okay. There are free apps that you can go into the store and buy Word, PowerPoint, and so on. Okay. And when you do that, they will run up there. Okay. And before, they used to be you could go in and you could make changes, but when they went to live, the free versions don't let you update. But if you have Office installed on here, on your machine and you do the upgrade, it should just keep the licensing and everything should be nice and happy and it should just run. Yeah. Okay, so yeah. Okay. We got to go, okay. We got to zip, okay. There's password preview, and maybe if I have to, I can come back down here sometime in a couple of weeks and we'll do it at a basics or something, okay. Upgrade, this is almost a no-brainer. Almost everybody, unless they've been only on Windows 8, I think are going to be happy going to 10 from 8 because things are much nicer. So I'm going to zip through here. Okay. And then to demo. Okay. So, sorry. Yeah, or something like that. Or we can do some other time. So, but, okay. Let me just real quick see if I can go through here and do a little quick stuff here. Well, okay. So this is Windows 10. Okay. This is my wife's machine because we don't have time to take swaps. So I may do things a little bit different, but. Okay. Notice we don't have the silly start screen. You're just there. Okay. You know, it's not full up. Okay. You don't go to the full up start screen. So here's your start menu. Okay. You can change the size of this. You can go in here and you can grab things and you can resize them to small. Forgive me for messing with this because I'm logged in as Kathy too. Live tiles. You can turn the live tiles off. Okay, if I start something like Mahjong, it might come up full screen because that's the last time, but I can do this, and I can start another game here, and these are just because we've been full screen, but you can see they're real Windows. They're not full screen like you're used to seeing for Windows 8. I can go up in here, And if I click on something like, oh, let's say the weather, I can unpin it from the start. That means it's going to disappear from here. It won't be in the start menu, but I'll still have it. I can resize it. I can turn the lifestyle off, or I can pin the taskbar. Some things, like here, we have the, let me drag this up here where it's a little easier to see. If I go here, I can uninstall this stuff from here. I have the option of uninstalling. So you have to dig around through the control panel and try and find things. Okay. So, and you can go through here and you can pin this to the taskbar. So it means it shows up down here and you always have quick access to it down here. Okay. Unfortunately, like Windows 8, I have seen situations where the taskbar doesn't auto-hide correctly. Okay. Here's your, the settings. This is kind of the replacement for the control panel, but you still have a control panel, and not everything's in here. They've done a very good job of fixing the search here, so that works. But you can also just come down here in the corner and right-click in here and say control panel, and there's your old-fashioned control panel. Okay. I'm kind of rushing this, and I'm sorry about that. So, you got all this sort of stuff, cool stuff here. You go down here in all apps, and you've got your applications installed. And they're listed alphabetically. You mean down, okay, there's, go get down here? Okay. Now, we have the clock. Here we have notifications, okay? And they've kind of, and I have a little bit of a problem with this when I'm doing screens, okay? So here, you know, you get feedback and things like, they actually ask us, how do you like this and so on. And you've got the tablet mode and things like that that change. Oh, that's right, I'm in duplication. Okay. There's a bug, by the way, in this here. Okay. So you can go through and look at stuff. You can change your icons. You can go to airplane mode really quickly here. And you can configure all of this stuff and hide things almost as well as Windows 7. Yes. Well, mostly there shouldn't be anything down in there, okay? And you shouldn't be getting pop-ups, okay? If you get a pop-up, just ignore it, and then go down here, and you'll see this little Windows icon. Looks like this guy, but in a different color, okay? So if you get propped up, okay, you want to do that. Close that up, and then go down in here and look and click on it. So, but yes, there are people out there going through and sending out notes to people saying, I'll help you in doing it, so. Okay. Let's see, I'm kind of scattered. What, is there anything else? What? Oh, yes. Okay, this is Cortana, and we'll see if this works. And this might be really confusing because I've got a microphone on here. So you click down in here. I think if you have the right hardware, you can click on this, and it'll do its thing. It'll actually go through, and you can set it up so you just say, hey, Cortana, and it works. But we don't have the right hardware for that. But if I click down in here, and it'll come up, and it'll say, hopefully, it'll say I'm listening. Whoops. Okay. Okay. Hey, Cortana, tell me a joke about computers. Now, this is interesting. You must have the sound turned. Oh, you got the sound turned all the way down. It'll read this back to you in a kind of a nice computer voice. And you can do things like, hey, Cortana, start Microsoft Word for me. Okay. Yeah. And did I tell you it wasn't perfect? Start Microsoft Word. No. And actually, the speech recognition software that was in Vista works even better than this for this particular task. But, okay. So let me see. Is there anything else? Oh. I know what I was going to show them. This is Edge. Okay. Looks a lot like Internet Explorer, and it's a lot like Internet Explorer. Let's just go through here. And, oh, I don't want to do that. This is good. Enough. So anyway, I don't like that. I can come down here, and I click on the spot, and I say open with Internet Explorer, and it's going to go open the same thing. Oh, and we haven't run Internet Explorer on this machine. So, okay. But basically, you can just go through. That's how you go through. If you have a problem with something at Edge, then you go do that. Okay? I think I'm going to stop and just say what people have for questions now, and then I'll get swamped, and then they'll eventually kick me out of here. Probably 3 seconds. Okay. So, there's some really, really cool things in the new games, and I'll let people know that. So, yes. It should. Oh, Kathy says that they should get a. You might get a, even get a live tile for it. The question is, he has a stock portfolio on Windows 7, and depending upon how you manage it, will it go away, or will you have lose access to it? You should still get, everything should still run just like you would. Your favorites and so on should come over, and everything like that. I've even had situations where my favorites on one machine bring over here, and I'm like, okay, it just knows who I am. You should still be able to access it. Kathy said that when, you may find that when you get to the upgrade, there will even be a live tile with information. You can just click on that to get stuff. Oh, okay. Okay. Yes, she said, this machine, we had this on Windows 7, it's a long story, it was Windows 7 Professional, we upgraded this, and when she did that, before we did that, she had actually gone through and said, I'm going to look at watch Microsoft stock, and when she got done after the process of doing the upgrade, there was a live tile now that was dedicated to that. Yes, and she got rid of it. Yes, another question. No, that garbage is gone. All of this, you don't, you know, the business of drag, the biggest having, what do they call that? Sidebar, that wasn't called. Chimes bar. Ah, that's gone. Okay? And that was really frustrating to me because I had an all-in-one screen with a multi-touch that I had gotten, and then I went in and I put Windows 8 on it, and the problem is it's got a frame around it. Of the screen, right? Just like a non-touch screen laptop or machine has a monitor, but it has a frame on there. And Microsoft is telling me, start your hand offside the screen and slide it. Well, it would jump and I'd be in the middle. And all that charm stuff was just totally gone. It was just totally a mess. And that's pretty much gone. That's all gone. Well, I think in tablet mode maybe you can do some of that, but go ahead. It's quite a bit. A lot of the things they've done with randomization and so on have helped. Okay, and Edge is incredibly improved. One of the things too in May and June, if you could find a secure and I'm going to extend this, if you could find a security bug, and you were the first person to find a security bug in Edge or Spartan as it was called at that time, and you informed them through the right place. They would give you several $1,000s. So, and I don't know if they took any takers. But they've rewritten, they got rid of a lot of the legacy stuff. But yes, I think it's quite a bit improved since what it was. But I don't know for sure. I know that when I was doing support, we almost never saw anything. We didn't see a lot of people getting Windows 8 infected if they kept up to date. And the biggest thing is that you're not going to have millions and millions of people not updated. Anything? Oh, yes. They have a different version, but there's a Windows Mail in here, and they've actually improved that quite a bit. There's a mail application you can do and configure. I do not know. I would think so. Yeah. Yes. No, just their built-in ones. Okay, so if you have... Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, we have to stop, Kathy. So, but though they... Just the Microsoft-provided games are going away. Okay, the ones that you can go through in either... They come on the machine, or you can go in to add Windows features. Those are the ones that are uninstalling. So far as I know, nothing else is being uninstalled. We did. That was the one where I was talking about, and I showed you to bring Internet Explorer up. Okay. No, I don't think, I don't know. The question is, is everybody's going to be on edge or on 10? Is it going to be easier to hack into it? I don't think so, because they're going to improve things. The biggest thing right now is the low-hanging fruit of all these people who have never updated. My father-in-law got a machine. He heard some stories about people with Windows XP Service Pack 2, and he went 7 years with, or something like that, without him doing it. He just turned all these updates off, and he ran like that. And he was doing the church finances out there in New England on this machine. And, yeah.
Okay, one more question, please, then we'll stop. One more question.
Oh, maybe we're done. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's thank Bruce and Kathy.
Thank you.
Bruce. Kathy, would you come forward, please? We have certificates of appreciation.